Hi, and welcome to NWR Connectivity. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, here for episode 256. Joining me, as always, at least for the past like 2 months, is John Reardon.
Howdy, everybody.
And joining us is a special guest who I guess technically was the last host of Connectivity before it like disappeared for a year or two, and that would be Xander Morningstar.
Hello. I'm not at fault for steering this ship into an iceberg. It's not my fault. I was just a passerby using the vessel to explore new territories. Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you.
That's the dumbest way to introduce myself.
I kind of liked it.
All right. Now that we have you live, so Xander, you are behind the Blue Coin Cast Twitter account, aren't you?
No idea what you're talking about. That'd be crazy. These allegations are still being under investigated. That's not a real word. It's not me, I swear. Maybe it is. I don't know.
So what we're going to do to start off the show is I guess a little unconventional, but we happen to be recording this on the start of the very weird 2021 NHL season. So Xander and John, who to my understanding have not watched a hockey game ever.
I've seen them in represented in films such as The Mighty Ducks.
Good movie.
And I think maybe some episodes of like The Simpsons or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. Xander, how about you?
I saw the movie Inside Out, and there was hockey in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
the girl played
hockey.
There you go. That's a good pull.
Yes. Thank you.
So we are both familiar with hockey.
There is a puck. There are goals. So what we're going to do is, and I will also play in this, we're going to make predictions for who makes the playoffs in each of the four divisions in this weird COVID affected year of hockey, and then also pick who will win the division, not during the regular season, but who will win it in the playoffs, because there's four divisions, four teams from each division will make it in, and then they will all play each other, and then there will be like a winner, and there will be a final four. So let's go with the Central Division, and I will read the team names off. We have the Carolina Hurricanes, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Dallas Stars, the Detroit Red Wings, the Florida Panthers, the Nashville Predators, and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
We're supposed
to tell you which one of those will win?
Yeah. Here might be a better way to do this. I'm going to send you this link to what I was looking at.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's look at the Central, if you go to that link.
Got it. I see it. Florida's not in the center.
There is an East Division, which is basically the Northeast, because there's a lot of teams there. There's the North Division, which is the Canada Division.
It's the East Coast as defined by what calls itself the East Coast.
To be fair, the Chicago team is in the Western Conference usually, which is weird.
Midwest.
So pick your four teams and pick which team you think is going to win this division.
Okay. Should I just announce them to you vocally?
Yes.
We're going to go with Chicago. We're going to go with Detroit and Carolina and Columbus.
And who do you think is going to win that?
That's going to go to Carolina.
All right. The Canes. The Carolina Hurricanes are your winner. All right, Xander.
No, am I allowed to pick the same?
Okay.
My first pick, I guess, you know, I'm an Ohio boy. I have to go with Columbus.
Are they your winner, or is that?
Yeah, Columbus Blue Jackets all the way. I'm taking them home.
He's a really big fan.
Yeah,
as you can tell.
I've watched none of their games, but, you know, I'm full support today.
Fun playoff games last year.
My second pick will be the Florida Panthers. My third pick will be the Dallas Stars. And then I'll end up also picking Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right. So my picks are, my winner is the reigning Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Then my other three teams are the Dallas Stars, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Carolina Hurricanes.
All right.
So let's move over to the Eastern Division. which has the Philadelphia Flyers, the Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, the New Jersey Devils, the New York Islanders, the New York Rangers, the Washington Capitals, and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Pittsburgh Penguins. It's adorable.
Xander, do you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I'm picking Pittsburgh Penguins. I love that name.
I figured you would.
I'm sorry. I love that too much. And then New York Islanders, Buffalo, and Boston.
All right, John.
I'm legally required by ties to my in-laws to pick Boston as the winners. And then let's throw in Buffalo, Philadelphia, and you did Islanders. I'll do Rangers.
All right. So my teams are, my winner is the Washington Capitals, and my other three teams are the Philadelphia Flyers, the New York Islanders, and the Buffalo Sabres. So let's go to the North Division, which this is the Canada Division. So this is the Calgary Flames, the Edmonton Oilers, the Montreal Canadiens, the Ottawa Senators, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Vancouver Canucks, and the Winnipeg Jets.
Not to derail this, but just so I understand how this competition works, and I don't mean our competition, I mean like the actual brackets hockey. Here. Actual hockey. Are these like in March Madness, are these not seeds, but like are they organized by the division, and then like the winners end up facing the other divisions?
So the way this will work, like when it gets to the playoffs, is that you'll have like the four seed, like out in each division, it'll be the top four teams make it in. The mm-hmm. fourth ranked team will play the top ranked team. The third ranked team will play the second ranked team. The winners of those two series will then play each other. And then the winner of that will then pair up against the winner of another division.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Well, like with the last one, I've got family in Vancouver, so let's put them winning. And then I once tried to convince my parents to let me go to a Beyblade tournament in Toronto, so let's throw that in there. And then also Calgary and Edmonton.
I'm going to go with the Winnipeg guys as the Winnipeg Jets as the
Winnipeg fellas.
Yes. I was like, I'm trying to click the name so I can say the team name, but it wasn't loading fast enough.
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah.
Oh. This is hockey.
Calgary Flames and the Ottawa Senators?
Yeah, it's a very boring name.
I was like, that's not the okay. Was their mascot just like a guy?
The Toronto Legislation.
yeah, basically, oh. Like I forget what they're if they actually have a mascot, but it might just be like a dude dressing up and like, yeah, I'm a senator. I don't know.
Oh, it's fine. My high school mascot was a beaver, so it's like whatever.
It wasn't my college. It was my college was the Pioneers, but my sister's college that she went to was the Rowan Profs, like professors. So their mascot was an owl. Oh. They were pretty good, like D3 football school. Like they were fun.
Okay, that's cool. I don't know if I picked a fourth one, did I?
No, you have Winnipeg, Calgary, and Ottawa.
All right, I'm going to go with Toronto.
All right, so my winner is Toronto. Then my other three teams are Edmonton, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. All right. So now we move to the West. And John, I assume you will just pick the Anaheim, formerly Mighty Ducks, as your winner.
Is that a thing?
They used to be called the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. They were owned by Disney. They might still be, but now they are just the Anaheim Ducks.
A lot of my choices in the central one were based on where I thought it was most likely that there would be ice, and thus where it would be most likely that people could play hockey. Because, like, I ain't being fooled by no Florida bullshit. Like, I know there's no ice there. That's not a real team. Unless they use rollerblades.
I don't know, John. A lot of weird stuff happens in Florida.
That is
I will
true.
Say, once again, the reigning champ is the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they beat the Dallas Stars.
Hmm.
And I think the other, what were the other Final Four teams? I know one of them was the Vegas Golden Knights.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas is also only like 3 years old, and they've been legitimately one of the best teams in hockey.
Now you're skewing my vote. but Xander, it's your turn to go first.
I'm going to go with Minnesota because I have family there. And also, more importantly, when I saw Inside Out, I believe the little girl that was the star of that movie lived in Minnesota. So
that is also, I'll call it out, Nintendo World Report founder Billy Berghammer, big Minnesota Wild fan.
Wow. Okay. This is
actually
good.
Who Inside Out was based on. Weirdly enough, funny
it's
story.
It's his wife. He moved to California.
Yeah.
Yes. They.
He did move
to
California at one point.
They took his whole life and they condensed it into a very short little Pixar film
emotional.
About a girl going through. What would you call that? It wasn't quite puberty, but it was like a development time for a child. Yeah. Anyway, I'll go with
childhood. I believe.
Yeah, I guess childhood.
What's that thing where you're a kid and time passes?
And you're developing.
Yeah.
Yeah, growing up. All right, Arizona, Anaheim, and San Jose.
I'm going to go with Colorado because there's snow there. Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah, we'll throw Anaheim in there. And why not L.A. just to shake things up?
All right, so my four teams are Colorado.
Oh, Colorado's winning, by the way.
Okay, that's what I thought by your order. That's
yes.
So Colorado's my winner as well. My other three teams are Vegas, St. Louis, and San Jose.
Let it be known that Neil copied my winner.
I did actually go through it. Like I wrote down my winners before you guys really got through anything.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I believe that the Avs are good, man. So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna kind of file this away and hopefully not forget about it by the time the hockey season. I mean, who knows? Will the hockey season even finish? I don't know.
What's the estimated time for that to happen? Because I'm gonna put an event in my.
It'll be like June. Let's look it up right now. Stanley Cup.
It's
final.
It ends when summer gets here because the ice melts, Xander. There's no ice in Florida after June.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's a 56 game season. I'm trying to just find the.
I'll just put in my phone a calendar event just to say, hey.
So the last possible day of the playoffs is July 15th.
Neil on July 15th. Okay.
And I'll probably also be watching the playoffs because hockey's really fun to watch in the playoffs.
Got it.
And also the Chicago Blackhawks, which that's my team, are going to be utter trash this year. So John, I believe you picked them for yours. Like, that'd be cool. I don't think it's gonna happen.
I picked them because they were the closest to where I am.
They were so good. Like,
which
they were really good.
I know people who like have like season tickets to them, so.
But anyway, yeah. So
that was,
it'll
like,
be
the only team I recognized.
It'll be you'll get 1 point. So we'll be able to, like, when the regular season ends, we'll know a little bit because we'll each get like a point for each team we get right for making the playoffs, and then whoever gets the actual winner of the division in the playoffs will be that you'll get. I don't know. We'll give 5 points for that, or maybe three. I don't know. We can figure it out later.
And Neil will buy a $100 Nintendo eShop gift card for the winner.
Or like a $10
and
one?
$50 to both runners up.
Yeah, it's true. You can buy Hollow Knight for
the
like
goal
10
is
bucks,
to get in the top three.
Okay. Okay. Hey, this is nice, though, because, you know, even if I don't win, you know, I'll still get something. And I think,
no,
John, you're paying off my student loans according to a recent graduation video.
It was so nice of you, John.
I think I already have. That graduation happened like 6 months ago. Did you not get my check?
I must have got lost in the mail.
Oh.
Maybe we could just blame COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, tragic.
It's a hard time.
Unfortunately, I ran out of paper checks. So,
darn.
Last chance, that was.
So let's, now that I've, everybody's turned this off, maybe we'll put a timestamp in it being like, if you want to skip the hockey crap, If you want to skip the hockey crap and get to talking about Super Mario 3D World, what is this, 15 minutes and holy crap. Okay, so let's. So we got some news about what Bowser's Fury is in Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, which I have been erroneously calling Super Mario 3D World Deluxe, and that's apparently not the name of the game. My bad. But Bowser's Fury looks awesome.
That's okay. They've been using the plus thing with like the Mario and Luigi remakes, it's like, there's a precedent, I guess, but not to defend those games. Just
name
titles.
The only precedent is that they give the games a bad title. That's it. This is new Super Mario 3D Bros. Bowser Furry something.
I saw on Twitter like a poll for like what are the worst like Mario game name acronyms, and it was like New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe like plus Luigi or something. It had then the Mario Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's, you know, just these very long titles.
It's a lot of the Mario and Luigi ones, because I think that's what it is. It's Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions or something.
Yeah. Or Bowser's Junior's Journey, you know.
Yeah. I think that was the Inside Story one, I think was that.
Yes. Because Partners in Time, this
does kind of seem like it's, I mean, not that, I don't think Alpha Dream, I mean, they're not in existence anymore. It would have been cool if it was like, it was just a Mario and Luigi game. Was appended onto this, that would be funny.
That'd be neat.
But it does, like this looks really cool. It's kind of like 3D world, but open world, so to speak. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that long, because it takes place, what is it? It's Lake Lapcat is the name of the area.
It's a good name.
Is real good. And you get cat shines, which is also real good. And it seems like the game is structured in that it's like sunny days, and then there's like a sleeping mecha.
What a terrible night for a curse.
Yeah, and then there's like a sleeping Fury Bowser or something, and then he wakes up, and then it gets all dark, and that might open up like new environments and new platforming challenges and stuff. But I don't know, like, it does seem, I'm a little concerned, I guess, about the length of Bowser's Fury, which...
It looks like it's just one area.
Yeah, and like... Is there any kind of replayability in that? Because, like, maybe it is. Like, it could be the kind of thing, like, maybe you beat it as Mario, and then, like, you can replay it as Luigi and the other characters or something. And maybe there's, like, you know, slight differences there. Like, that could potentially be cool. But it does seem like, I guess, you beat Bowser and then it's done. And it seems like they showed a lot of what that game is. I'm not normally the person who's, like... Oh, they showed too much in trailers, because I get how marketing works, but it seems like you didn't have to show as much as they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen the climax. I think Mario's going to get real big.
Yeah. And maybe there's more to it than that, but I don't know.
I was under the assumption this game was going to be a playable Bowser mode, and it was just going to be like a point-based, like, almost like, I don't know if hack and slash is the word, but kind of like in Mario Odyssey where you play it. Sorry, spoilers. At the end of Mario Odyssey, you play as Bowser, and there's like that sequence where you're just kind of going crazy. Like, I wonder if I was thinking like that's what this mode was going to be, but it was more like point based. You're going to play as Meowser, but maybe it's like a part of the climax that they're not showing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance, but like seeing, so they initially revealed what Bowser's Fury is in like a 2-minute trailer that they pre-announced like 12 hours before, like, get ready for 2 minutes of Bowser's Fury. And then, like, a day later, they had, like, what was it, like, a 7 or 8 minute video that kind of went into more detail on it, which...
Yeah.
It looks really fun. Like, I'm looking forward to playing it. Is it going to be something that I'm going to, like, finish in a night, or is it going to be something that's going to be, like, 5 to 10 hours?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, like, because I think I'm going to get this game. I was very, unsure of myself before seeing what Bowser's Fury was. But, like, having that photo mode, the increased speed, this really cool new substantial add-on, like, that's all kind of sold me on it. I hope the online works, but that's a conversation for another time, I suppose. I'm losing my train of thought.
I can have that conversation really quick. It's not going to work.
I think I saw a tweet circulating. I don't know if it was in our site Slack or not, where someone sent a tweet out that was just like, this is what Super Mario 3D World Online is going to be. And it was just the start of the game and it hitching every 2 to 3 seconds.
Yep.
Which, I think we have a lot of reason to doubt it But, like, you know, hope springs eternal. I'm not optimistic that playing this online is going to be great.
I remember what I was going to say. I don't, like, if I get this game, which I probably will, like, am I going to start with Bowser's Fury? Because I assume that it'll be, like, an unlocked thing from the get-go, right? You don't have to beat the game first. That'd be weird.
I would think so. But, I mean, maybe it's like... It's the kind of thing, maybe, like, you have to beat the first world, but it'd be, like, beating the game before you get to that would be kind of weird and crappy.
I could totally see myself getting this game, starting with Bowser's Fury, playing through it for three, maybe 4 hours, and then being done with it, and then being like, okay, now I'm going to play the main game, and, like, okay, the online sucks, all right, I guess I'll play through, like, the first few levels and enjoy that photo mode, and then I've played this game already, you know, it's like, then what? Maybe I'll go through the whole thing. It's been a while, but
I want to replay it
with friends. Like that is the one thing about the main game that I want to do again.
That's the worst part of the game.
I know, but
is playing it with other.
So my thing, what bothers me about 3D World is that I wish it was like that's actually what excites me about Bowser's Fury because it does seem like it's a mode designed for a single player, even though there is you know a second player can play as Bowser Jr. It's like a co-op buddy, but that looks more like the co-star mode from Galaxy than it does, you know, like how 3D
works. It does look like you can, like, kill enemies and stuff with them. Like
Mario is the focus of Bowser's Fury, and Bowser Jr. is a partner. Whereas in the main game, it's like, you know, you have four players and everybody kind of shares real estate on the screen. I think that the multiplayer component of that game is super fun. It's maybe a little bit too, like, frenetic to, like, you need... Like, everybody kind of needs to be a little bit on the same player level, or else it can get very frustrating, especially deeper into the game. But playing that game single player, I feel like you lose out on a lot, because the levels are designed to have more players in it. So it's kind of, like, wider spaces, but the space isn't exactly filled all the time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah, I played through all the way through that game, both single player and multiplayer, and I had a bad time multiplayer and I had an okay time single player.
I guess I'm realizing as like talking about it now, I didn't play a lot of the late game stuff in multiplayer. I played because I think I reviewed it back in the day. It might have been for Nintendo Force magazine is what my review went up on. I really liked it. I think I gave it like a 9 out of 10, but I know a lot of my multiplayer time was with like the first handful of worlds, and by the time I got to the post game I was playing it primarily single player. Like, I don't know. Like, if the online works, I would be a lot more excited if I could guarantee that the online would work. But I'm also, from my vantage point, this game is a must purchase, if only for my child. Because I mean, I was thinking about like I should show him the Bowser's Fury trailer. He'll probably like it a lot. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do it right now. Like, I was working and, like, watched the trailer and then went back to work. And, you know, my wife was out of the house. So it was just me and him. And sometimes when that happens, he's just tootling around on the menu on the Switch. He's the only person I know who actually looks at the news channels.
I do.
Well, I guess you and my kid.
All right. He and I, we share a bedtime and an activity on the Switch.
But he... I look over when I'm like in a meeting and he's just playing the Bowser's Fury trailer and and he would just rewind it and get to the beginning and then like see the cats and just go kitty 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 and then Bowser would show up and he'd go like roar Bowser.
It's
so adorable. So I was already thinking about how like you know what, like he'll have a really good time, like especially you know, playing through the early levels. And I have really fond memories of playing, I want to say it was New Super Mario Brothers Wii with one of my nieces back around when that came out, because it like was a different difficulty mode in that game because I was playing with like a 3 or 4 year old that I just had to carry around because she would like move around a little bit and be like, I'm out. I'm like, all right, let's go. I'm going to do this. And like, it was actually like, it was legitimately really fun. So, like, it'll be the kind of thing where, like, I think I can probably get him to actually play along with me, and it might just be that little bit of, like, oh, I need to account for playing with him. Like the couple times that we have played Smash Brothers together, which it's usually me, him, and I'll put, like, a level 8 or 9 computer player there, but then the game just becomes me trying to make sure that he doesn't die, while I kill the computer player, and it just makes it like this new, this different challenge.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you do handicaps on not to like like condescend or anything, but like since he is a child, like
to your very small child,
you know what I mean? Like, is there a way? I mean, I guess you could do team battles, but
yeah,
this is a free for all. Like, we want one winner.
Yeah, no, I want Faye. Like, because once the computer player is done, I just throw him off the edge. Like, that's,
if anyone's gonna kill you, kid,
yeah, it's gonna be your me. Old man. And he has I know early on. Like the Smash Brothers, I would like put him in training mode, and then notice as like he'd actually pull things off, and I'd be like, "What? What is the sorcery?" but that's why I'm really excited for 3D World is to play it with him. And I also haven't played through the game since it came out. And Bowser's Fury looks awesome. It would be a cherry on top if the online's good, but I think I'm looking forward to this game, kind of regardless. But I would get a lot more longevity out of it if the online's good, because it would be a game that would be fun to play online with, you know, NWR people.
I think I'm closer to John though, in that like I have to pick my words. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm like stuck up, but like I feel like whenever I've tried sharing this game with people locally, I'm the one kind of like walking them through how to play it.
Yeah, it's a little bit chaotic.
Yeah, and it would be nice to like just have like my online friends who have probably played a Mario game of this caliber before to be able to like actually kind of go through it together, not just like play through the first world like, okay, that was a nice little romp. And then this is like, I guess, less of a 3D World problem and more of just like Mario multiplayer in general, but like I have always hated the pausing that happens whenever someone takes damage or gets an item or anything, and I think that's in 3D World.
I think it is.
The only time I remember ever being gone was in the Mario Maker online, which of all things, which is bad on its own
but paused for other reasons.
Yeah, it was bad for different reasons, but like I remember loving that. Like, okay, cool. Like we're making progress, guys. But I doubt that that's even an option in this one. But that's just a small aside. You know, I've lived with that since they had the Wii game, so whatever. But I'm hoping that the online works, because I just want to be able to play this with people that want to play through the whole thing, you know.
Yeah,
and we'll see.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Like, I guess, and maybe we'll get an early copy. Maybe we'll be able to talk about it in preview form. Or we'll just have to wait until it comes out, see what other people say, confirm it for ourselves. Well, hope springs eternal, right? About the online and early code.
I do appreciate, I was going to mention, I like all the Sunshine references in the
Yes,
trailer.
John, yeah. That's what I was forgetting. Thank you.
Yeah. The, like, Bowser, baby, not baby Bowser, Bowser Jr. has his brush.
Yeah.
And there's a cutscene they have on, I think, the Japanese website, where you see how Mario gets pulled into that world, and it's by one of the M's from
Sunshine. That's incredible.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of just some Sunshine loving in that game, and that makes me happy to see.
At the risk of connecting myself to other podcasts that originated on this podcast,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That may or may not have become Thirsty sentient. Mage? I was like over the moon to see the amount of Sunshine love that was shown in the trailer, like having Bowser Jr. bring back the paintbrush, which I don't think he's had since like Mario Sluggers on the Wii.
So
maybe?
it's in Smash Brothers.
Oh, it is.
I was gonna ask if it was in that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's I kind of like it when they give him the paintbrush. Sunshine bias aside, like I often think that like the Koopalings often like kind of outshine Bowser Jr. in a way, because I feel like they have a little more personality than him. But like him having that paintbrush and kind of like being like this bratty kid, but like brings his own creations to life. Like, I've always really liked that angle, and it's nice to see them
gives him something unique.
Yeah, it's nice to see them kind of playing that up again to like get rid of that generic vibe that a lot of people see in him. Plus, he's playable.
It separates
really cool.
him from Baby Bowser.
Yeah, and Koopa Kid, like that. Drives me nuts, that whole relationship that Baby Bowser and Bowser Jr. and Koopa Kid have, and the Koopalings. But it's okay.
I did make the call before this came out that I was like, it'd be cool if you could play as the Koopalings. And I still think that would be really cool, but I don't know. Maybe Nintendo's idea is better. Like, it's I just hope it's long. Come back to how we kind of started this conversation. Not that it doesn't need to be like 20 hours long, but like give me a solid 5 to 10 with a little bit of replayability.
Make it like a two sitting thing.
Yeah.
A one sitting thing.
Like this is only bad if it's like sub 3 hours.
Even if it's like just you get like once you beat it, you can play as other characters.
Yeah. That could be acceptable. Like I mean, it's all like I'm not the kind of person that usually is like make the games longer, because I kind of like a really like good solid 5 to 10 hour game is kind of my preference at this point.
Sure.
But like I feel like this mode will just feel short if it's only like 2 hours.
Different like characters that you get to play as, like, goes a really long way, especially with replayability. You know, I've put like 100 hours into Mario Odyssey over the years, and it's like I love that game to the moon and back. but like as awesome as Mario is to control in that game, like I've kind of mastered his movement, and it would be kind of nice to like have another character to be able to play as. And so if that's something similar in this instance, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, they have other playable characters in the main mode. And I don't know if they, I think Matt mentioned in Slack that they've updated the moveset for Mario in the main mode as well as Bowser's Fury. Like he's able to do that dive and roll move. So I would imagine that the other character is able to do that as well. But yeah, we'll see.
I guess enough talking about Mario. Let's talk about the other topic that is always on our mind here on New Connectivity. Star Wars.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Indiana Jones.
Oh, I mean, Indiana Jones, this might be the first Indiana Jones mention in the entire show history. Probably. I don't know.
Maybe not
possibly
last.
The only. I don't know how often it's going to come up.
Yeah, it might not. But like Lucasfilm Games is a thing. So for a while, Star Wars games were just, like, it seemed, I mean, like, Disney was handling the licensing and Lucasfilm was involved as well. EA kind of had a semi-exclusive contract where they were making, you know, Battlefront, Battlefront 2, Fallen Order, Squadrons. There was still, like, LEGO Star Wars games coming out, Star Wars Pinball. But now it seems like Lucasfilm Games doesn't have that semi-exclusive contract with EA. EA is still making games. I think, like, you know, we'll probably see a sequel to Fallen Order, I would hope. You know, I feel like Battlefront and Squadrons probably aren't going to be done from here on out. We'll see.
Yeah.
But Ubisoft, the Ubisoft Massive team, which I believe worked on the Division 2 and I think has some ties to Far Cry, they're working on a new Star Wars game that is probably years away, but I think it's really cool that we're just going to see like more variety of Star Wars games.
Yeah, and if we can get this into the hands of maybe some not, like, I mean, EA and Ubisoft are two of, like, the biggest monoliths of game development out there right now. But if we can start to get these Star Wars games into the hands of smaller developers, that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah.
I know there aren't as many of those around. Like, there aren't as many, like, AA developers now as there were back when like, you know, LucasArts was in its prime during, like, the N64 and GameCube days.
Yeah, like, I don't know if there's that many studios that are comparable to Factor 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Or who else did they work with back then? I mean, even Raven Software.
Yes.
But they're owned by Activision now and make help on Call of Duty games. Raven's awesome. Like, that is a developer that I will carry a torch for. They made some really good games over the years. But I mean, I did see people calling for a Star Wars Musou game, which, oh buddy, I play a lot of that game.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
Apparently, I think there's a comment from one of the guys, like one of the developers at like Koei Tecmo or maybe like Omega Force or whatever, that basically said just like, would like to do that. I'm like, yeah. Like that would be cool. Like, I would very much welcome that. And I mean, they, like, Koei Tecmo has worked on Disney properties with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Maybe it's gotta already be in the works. Come on.
We've gotta will it into existence. But it would be like, what would be,
someone will make a Switch game.
I mean, I hope. Type. Star Wars Pinball. Star Wars Pinball is also from a studio that I would call like a double A. Or like,
I feel like Star Wars would get a Musou game before Fire Emblem. No disrespect to Fire Emblem, but like you just think about like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe that was too premature. Like now that I'm thinking about it, but I don't know. Like that Star Wars is so big.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, I also think that Star Wars just wasn't active in games during this height of the licensed Musou.
Yeah. Even with like you know, with Zelda, like you didn't think that there'd ever be like a licensed Zelda game like that. But
yeah,
yeah, that's
and that kind of like that rash of stuff. I guess maybe like what is it, early 2010s? Because I know there's like the One Piece ones. There's like Dragon Quest. I mean, even though Persona 5 Strikers, I don't really think it's like a Musou, although I think some of the developers.
I think it's a Musou.
I've heard conflicting things that
okay.
Like it is not the like even Age of Calamity being a little different. It's not even like that from what I've heard. But like yeah, there is that kind of that heyday of the licensed Musou, and maybe I don't know. It'd be cool if Star Wars could make one.
That'd be pretty cool. I bet that's already in the works at this point. Like if Disney had done what they've done already, like maybe 5 years ago, 5 years before The Force Awakens, I should say. So that would have been like 2010, like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think this game would already be like well into existence. But there's no doubt in my mind that game's already being made. Come on. Like that's crazy.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I want it so bad. I mean, what other, I mean, obviously I would love to see like another Rogue Squadron game, although we did get Squadrons, which I guess kind of covers that, but it feels like
Squadrons is closer to X-Wing versus TIE Fighter than it is Rogue Squadron. Yeah.
But I mean, I give it to Q Games, let Q Games make a Star Wars game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Platinum.
Yeah. Oh man. Like
what, Platinum makes some weird, crazy Star Wars action game.
Like what? Okay. What like B or C tier character would you want to see? Platinum make a character action game.
Platinums
about?
Would be about Lando. 100% guaranteed. Platinums would be about Lando.
But Lando doesn't have a big enough butt.
No, but he can pick up those who do. That would be what the game is about.
No, I mean, real talk. I think Platinum would make a sick as hell Ahsoka game.
Oh yeah.
What other developers?
All right, somebody make a Lando visual novel.
Lando Dating Sim scene. The scene in Attack of the Clones where they're in like that Coliseum, like that's already that's the Musou game right there.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the Musou game definitely has to be, maybe that's a High Republic game, which Xander, I do not know how much you know about Star Wars goings on right now, but they just like started a book and comic initiative for the High Republic, which is like centuries before the prequels.
Okay.
And that's like a brand new thing. There's a book that came out that I'm like halfway through.
Okay,
you are flying through that book. Wow.
I was just very ambitious early on. I've kind of stopped dead on it in like the past week.
Okay,
but
good.
But like that is like, because I feel like you have to do it during a time where like there's hella Jedi, so it can't really be like original trilogy or sequel trilogy. It has to be prequels or before.
Okay. Yeah, when I was a kid, I read a book about Jabba the Hutt's dad. That was about the extent of the.
I think I've read that book too.
You know what I'm talking about? He's like super hairy on the cover.
Yes. Yes.
Everyone's Googling that right now. You'll know it when you see it.
Yeah.
I remember reading
like
that
I have
kid.
This weird memory because I just got to a point when I was like probably late 90s, early 2000s, where it'd just be like, "Oh, Star Wars thing, I'll read it." But like, I didn't retain as much. It's the kind of thing where like it's all just a jumble in my head. But if you call to mind, like, Jabba's hairy dad, then I'm like, oh, yeah, that.
I think his name is, like, Zorba or Zorba.
Yeah.
It's something like
that. Yeah,
I think
it's Zorba the Hutt.
For some reason, I've never forgot that. And I think it's because it's just such a, wow, how could you forget that, you know? But, yeah, other than that, I played Lego Star Wars growing up, and that's about it. I've seen the movies, but, yeah, I didn't get super into the extended universe, let's call it.
I'd be good for, like, a survival roguelike.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a Jedi on Dagobah or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun.
They have a mode. Did you ever play the Ewok survival mode in in Battlefront 2.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, that is actually,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, they have a mode where you're a stormtrooper on Ewok on Endor after the destruction of the second Death Star, and it's nighttime and you just have to survive as Ewoks hunt you down, and it's weirdly terrifying.
It's like Slenderman, but it's great. Like just a swarm of,
yeah, just a Ewok. Swarm of,
yeah,
teddy bears.
You play online, and anytime anybody dies, they become an Ewok. So the Ewok army is gradually getting larger and larger.
I should go back to Battlefront 2. I haven't played it in a very long time.
It's kind of funny. I feel like I'm just like, again, I've already stated how much Star Wars I've consumed, but like I feel like Star Wars is easier to make games out of than more movies. Like you could make a stealth game on the Death Star, or you could make a tower defense game defending like the rebel base. You know, I feel like that there's just enough setups for them to make games out of, whereas like it's harder for them to like extend the story, I suppose. But
yeah,
that's interesting. Like a Pikmin game with Ewoks.
Ooh. there was something like some kind of Pikmin idea that I'm like didn't know what. Maybe it was like Ewoks or Pikmin, and you're C-3PO.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so there's also an Indiana Jones game got announced with this as well, developed by Machine Games, who did the Wolfenstein games, which most of those are on Switch. So, well,
I was thinking the same thing of like, dude, if this is Bethesda and it's probably running an id Tech, you cannot give me the excuse that you cannot run this on Switch.
So the one thing with that is, one,
doesn't Microsoft own them now, though?
Yeah, that's the one wrinkle with it. Is that
Microsoft makes more games for Switch than they do for Xbox Series X.
So I would say that like the Indiana Jones game coming to a Nintendo platform is not ruled out, but there's a lot that we don't know of what Microsoft owned Bethesda's, how it's going to operate. And I think from like the vantage point that we are now, like it's totally a possibility. I think the thing that if I were someone looking forward to this Indiana Jones game, I would be gravely concerned about this coming to a PlayStation system, because I think that's going to be the thing that Microsoft might be like, no, like this is a Game Pass exclusive. If you want this game, you need Xbox or PC.
It's a weird situation, but there is a world in which that game comes to Xbox Series X and Nintendo Switch, but not PlayStation.
I mean, or Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. That's a big, yeah.
It's happened.
I think we'll probably
scenario.
I feel like by the time this Indiana Jones game comes out, I mean, also by like the virtue of they'll actually announce what consoles is coming out for. But like this game seems like it's pretty early on. We're years away. Like I think we're gonna have some answers about how Bethesda is going to operate under Microsoft ownership in the next year or so. Like they have stuff like, I don't know. I think is Starfield supposed to come before Elder Scrolls 6?
Like, oh yeah, I forgot that game got announced.
When those games got announced 17 years ago, I was very excited, and now I don't know which one's first. But like, we'll probably hear some things about the Bethesda games that are like the first wave of the Microsoft owned ones.
It'll probably come out like maybe the month before Pikmin 4, probably.
But I'm excited that Lucasfilm's making more games. Like I think it's just going to lead to. I mean, it's the kind of thing where they're taking more swings at the plate with Star Wars games and other games, and not all of them are going to be great.
Like, hopefully, we'll get the next, you know, Rogue Squadron or Shadows of the Empire or Republic Commando. We'll also get the next like Obi-Wan.
Oh my god!
And other lesser Star Wars.
I've played way too much of that Obi-Wan game.
There's an Obi-Wan game?
It's not. It was Xbox exclusive?
Yes.
It was launch, I think. I think I recall hearing something about that game that it was basically like rushed out the door, the developers disavow it or something, but it was when...
That makes sense.
It came out, my brother was in college. I would have been, if this would have been like 2001, 2002, I would have been like 14. But I remember visiting my brother in college, and his roommate had an Xbox with Obi-Wan, and I would play it and be like, man, why did you ever buy this game? in only the way that like a 14 or 15 year old could say to like his brother's 20 year old roommate. We still get along. We're still friends on Facebook.
Yeah, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. I wonder if he still has Obi-Wan.
You know, I had a similar experience, but I was five, and the game I was playing was Wario World. Yeah, that's a thing that happened.
At least also, I had very heated Gold 2 matches with some of my brother's friends.
That's interesting.
If anybody remembers Gold 2, I just remember that it was maybe where my love of arcade soccer games came from. I don't know.
I got Superman 64 for a birthday.
Oh boy.
And I played it.
Anyway, I guess assuming that Microsoft's relationship with Nintendo is still this little cute little buddy thing that everyone sees, and maybe that Switch Plus or Switch Pro is a thing that actually does 4K.
New Switch XL, I believe, is the word you're looking for.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's.
You do realize like it's going to be branded like that, like I.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We make fun of it, but like
Switch Pro, it's going to be called the new Switch. It's going to be the XL, and the regular new Switch will be exclusive to Japan for like a year, and we'll only get it as an Animal Crossing special edition.
Like, that's the thing that I dread with whatever Switch Pro revision, improvement, sequel, I don't know. It's just like, everything's going so well for Nintendo right now, and I'm just like, what are they going to do to mess it up? I've heard this song so many times. And yeah, ends the same way every time. Like, it's like, in my heart of hearts, it'd be really cool if Nintendo just like, no, like, we've got a good rollout plan. Like, we're not going to skip a beat. We're going to keep, you know, like, basically time it perfectly. So when the Switch sales, like, the OG Switch sales wane, then we'll have this successor to come in right at the perfect time. Like, there's a chance that can happen.
It's like you're playing Jenga or something. You know?
I mean, it really, like, you kind of are. Like, if you think back to, like, you know, look at the Wii, which was a system that was also on the top of the world in a way that the Switch is now, and they messed up the timing. Like, I think they thought they could wrangle a few more years out of it before releasing another console, and mm-hmm. they was wrong. They yeah. was way, because I think like 2010 was kind of like the last good year of Wii. And then there were two more years until the Wii U came out.
Certainly when I stopped playing Wii. I don't know if I say this very much, but there was a period where I really did not play any Nintendo or games in period. That might just be like, what was it you said earlier? Childhood development?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think it was around 2010 to... I didn't get a Wii U until 2016, so it's 5 years or so. Wow. Where I was just like, eh.
Why did you wait until like... the week Paper before Mario, the Switch buddy. Came out.
Yeah, actually, I was. I honestly played my 3DS considerably more.
That's fair.
I mean, to be fair, I owned a Wii U and I played my 3DS considerably more.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
I don't regret playing the Wii U or anything, but like, man, was that like just an uncomfortable system to use consistently? Like a very slow menu. I do like. I look fondly back on Miiverse, but it's just like everything about that was bulky.
Yeah,
I look very fondly on like my like the early eShop days of like experimenting with random indies. Like I remember buying Little Inferno with no idea what it was and playing through all of it with a friend in a night, and I still don't know what it was, but it was a good time.
That's great.
And it worked great on the gamepad. You just got to poke things to start them on fire.
It's kind of weird, but like I guess kids that were in my age group at that time, you know, like they were all going into high school, like they weren't really spending as much time at home to do. I mean, there definitely are those, but like I don't think a lot of them were spending as much time playing home consoles. So it's like it's kind of like, you know, Pokemon was still very popular even when I was at that age, and so it's like, you know, that's on a portable system, right? You can take that with you, and that's kind of what the Switch is now. Whereas, you know, the Wii U, you couldn't even take it out of the living room. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of just another drop in the bucket of like maybe why that thing didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
But oh well.
I mean, the 3DS is dope though.
Like, yeah, it really is, man. Rest in peace.
Yep. Rest in power, 3DS.
Rest in power.
So do we want to talk about the hype meter at all?
Yeah, let's give the hype meter a few minutes for anyone who's stayed awake this long.
Damn. So the hype meter is a feature that we did back around the Wii U era and figured we'd bring it back, where we asked for people to send in their top 5 to 10 most anticipated games. The rules are kind of like it either needs to be announced or be a reasonable thing to come to the Switch or Nintendo platform. So, like, I mean, I do think Star Fox toes the line of reasonable expectation, but John is the director, so I guess I had to allow it.
I was not the first person to vote for Star Fox.
Nope.
He was the one that put it as a suggestion.
Yeah.
My vote came in late, and I'm pretty sure Star Fox was already in the ranking when I got
it. It already was.
But that makes you feel proud.
But the, I mean, it's a no-brainer that the top game was the sequel to The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. That's the official name for it. By like a shocking margin. Well, maybe once again, not even really that shocking of a margin. It was just soundly the top game.
Am I alone in like not being as hyped? I feel like as everyone. Maybe this is a dumb tangent, but I'm just kind of like, yeah. If it's just Breath of the Wild again, like I don't know. I put a lot of time into that first one. Like, what are you going to do differently? Anyway,
I mean, I think my thing is that I'm curious to see what they're going to do differently. Like, yeah, it's more same. Like I mean, I'd be down if they were to just be like, it's Breath of the Wild. It's like a slightly different map, and there's a gameplay tweak. I'd be like, all right, like that's a little kind of disappointing, but I really like the first one. Yeah, like, you know,
Pokemon and Animal Crossing, kind of like it's the same thing again, but it's a little cleaner. It's like,
yeah, like if it's like that, like. Oh, I'll still play the hell out of that game. It'll be a, sure, you know, yeah, a little deflating. But I also think that, like, this is definitely, it's going to be in that similar style. Like, I think they've kind of said that so much in few words. But
I think a lot of the map is going to be shared. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's going to be very, it'll be interesting. Because there are very few instances of Nintendo doing a direct sequel to a Zelda game. And so from a story perspective, assuming this is like the same Link and everything, that's honestly the part that's most exciting to me. Like, more Breath of the Wild, great. But like, actually, hey, you're going to like develop these characters and do things with them. Because like Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity kind of already started that. And we probably have some of like the best developed characters in a Zelda game.
Yeah.
In the Breath of the Wild pantheon.
So it's funny you say that, because there are times where I look at that and I'm kind of like, I'm ready for the next thing. You know, Zelda's so quick to always change its art style that like part of me split. And it's kind of something I've been thinking about, where it's like, I really enjoy that they're finally like sticking to something and letting something kind of stew a bit and grow and let people connect to it. Like it's nice that we had Age of Calamity to kind of supplement this trilogy, for lack of, because it's not is it a trilogy? I don't know.
I mean, Age of Calamity is a spin-off more than
but you know, like
sequel and a half.
It uses the same characters and art style, so it feels very part of that world, and so that's really cool. And I just kind of like that, like, wow, like we're actually having like a Link that's going to be here for a while. At the same time though, like I didn't think that the characters themselves were as developed, which is funny because you say that they're the most developed, and you're right. But
I think the secret is that Zelda characters aren't really that well developed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I hope that like this next one kind of pushes that envelope a little farther, so that way not only do we get to enjoy them being here, but also like I feel like I'm actually connecting to them because they are developed. I don't know if I worded that very well, but
I get what you're saying.
I want to enjoy this more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The interesting thing is that all the characters that they developed in Breath of the Wild and Hyrule Warriors are long dead by Breath of the Wild 2, presumably. So, and unless they're going to do more memories,
which I
flashback-based story.
That would be bad, I think.
Like, they might have to do new characters.
And that's the thing, is like, I totally get your... I'm not going to say it's cynical at all. I think it's just like seeing how Nintendo
apprehension.
Is... How Nintendo has carried out Zelda over the years. Like, the prospect of the Breath of the Wild 2. Like, there's a version of this game that maybe is just kind of more of the same. But what I'm excited for is the potential of this game. Like, I think it could happen. I want to see them just, like, give me a Majora's Mask to Breath of the Wild's Ocarina of Time. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, do something that takes a lot of those base mechanics and just twist them a lot.
Yeah, need to be a big quest or anything. Like, just do something different, you know?
I think it still has to be a big quest. I think people will be real pissed off if it's not. I agree with you, but I just think the reality of it is that, like, this is going to be another game where it's like, it's 50 hours baseline.
I know. If it means that they're more developed, though, like I would take that over. Like, let's go slay the bad guy.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. Like, give me, but like, give me something a little weird. Give me something that expands on it. And like, I'm most anticipated game to see what the hell it actually is going to be. Yeah. Like, that's why it was at the top of my list here. I'm really excited for Breath of the Wild too.
When with you talking to you about it right now, it's like climbing my list now, because it's like, oh yeah, you're right. Like there's so much potential here, and it's just like, is Nintendo going to Nintendo? You know, but
yeah,
I don't mean to be cynical.
So our number two Nintendo game and our number four overall was Metroid Prime 4, which is another game that I'm kind of like, I just want to see what the hell that game is.
Yeah.
I think I'm more excited about this because I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like the,
like it'll as, be a first and, I mean, person I think, shooter, I think.
Probably. Maybe. Who knows? Will the baby be there?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The baby.
If you play Federation Force, there's baby possibilities. Yep.
That'd be an interesting spin. Samus as a mom. Oh, I guess they've already
Have you never
done
played
that,
Other M?
No, I've
Samus
never played.
Is a mom.
Oh man, I thought that was—I thought that was on purpose. Like that's like a defining element of a couple games for her.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only thing I know about her is that she was like kind of a mom to a Metroid. I think
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
She just says the baby a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
In Other M.
The baby.
Then all right, my joke was warranted. Then all right, cool. We're good.
Yes.
Whew.
No, but I Right. Oh, the thing I was gonna say is that I'm excited for it to very directly tie into the plot of Federation Force, and then all the people who didn't play Federation Force to have no fucking idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And that is great.
All right.
I mean, for me, it's just like, I
want them to be punished.
I
want to
see a Metroid Prime game that makes me feel like I did when I played the first one, but make it modern.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing is, like, I do think, like, I mean, that like there, you could definitely do a ranking of the Metroid Prime trilogy, and you know, some are better than others. Two's the worst. But the thing with all of them is that like they do hold up really well, but they don't hold up perfectly. Like there's still games made in the 2000s.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, like I still think about the finale of all
games made in the 2000s under duress.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have tried playing them all, actually just the first one several times, since joining NWR, cause I've never been able to get through a Metroid game. And, I'm very back and forth on the first Prime. A lot of it has to do with the controls, but there are other parts that are just, you know, game.
Yeah.
Designs.
And it's...
Are you playing on GameCube or Wii?
Wii U.
Okay, yeah. Then never mind. Yeah. That's
the
good control version.
Yeah, it's the Wii one, which I think people are under the assumption is the better controlled one because it's the pointer. But
I agree with that.
I don't like it at all, but I also wouldn't want to play a first person shooter with the GameCube controller anyway. So I don't know. It's kind of weird. I really like the Splatoon thing where you like tilt the gamepad. I'm pretty into that.
You know what Metroid game controlled like Splatoon?
Federation
Forces, yeah.
Darn right.
Yeah, so...
It controlled great.
If they ever do a trilogy on Switch...
Yeah, Metroid Prime Trilogy was... It was lower on the hype meter. 42nd on the list. But Metroid Prime Trilogy, like, it would be really cool if that came out. Because I think we'd probably get Metroid Prime Trilogy probably with both pointer and regular controls.
It's entirely touchscreen controls now.
Yeah. It's funny. I usually don't let controls get in the way of me enjoying a game. Like I'm usually pretty good about like adapting to how they want me to play. But I think Metroid Prime is the only instance where I've like never been able to finish it because I'm just like it's really hard for me to immerse myself when I'm constantly fighting my own camera, I guess, or like what I'm actually trying to interact with. Like,
I always thought the lock on in that game worked pretty well, but.
I'm trying to like scan something and I'm not able to. I'm just kind of like, I want to be immersed in this, but
And that's the kind of thing is that I feel like, you know, taking a lot of what worked about the original three games and applying that to, you know, a game in 2021 or 2030, whenever this game comes out, like I want to see what they can do with that because like, who knows? Like, maybe Metroid Prime 4 comes out and it's bad. I really hope not, but, like, that's a possibility. But it also,
it
could be really good. And it could thread that needle of, you know, having the best parts of those GameCube and Wii games and then bringing it to the modern era. Like, and yeah. and how Nintendo has been with a lot of their games. And, you know, there's definitely discussion as to how well this absolutely did it. But I think sales-wise and critical acclaim definitely says that they've done a good job of it, is that I think Nintendo's done it with Zelda. They've done it with Mario. They've done it with Animal Crossing. They've, I guess, probably done it with Smash Brothers as well. Mm-hmm. They've done that good job of taking a lot of what worked about that series over the past 15, 20 years and then updating it for a modern time. So I kind of hope they do it with Prime 4. I want to see Retro Studios make a game again. I forgot what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
none of the same people, so...
You don't want them to make a game from the early 2000s.
Yeah, if you want to see what it's like for Retro Studios to make a game, I think you have to go play a mixture of Halo 4 and ReCore.
Like, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is, like, a perfect example of that. Like, that is a game yeah. based on what has come before it, but it was made for the year it came out, and it worked great.
I will say, John, to your point, which I agree what you're getting at, and that a lot of the people who worked on Metroid Prime are not at Retro Studios anymore. a lot of the people who worked on Tropical Freeze, though, still are.
Yes. So, Metroid Prime 4 will be a delightful 2.5D platformer featuring incredible fur physics.
To be fair, that game would probably rule.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not saying no. I'm just wondering where they're going to put the fur.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
but, have you played Tropical Freeze?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Metroid.
The fur looks incredible. Well, yes.
Okay. I was like, is there fur in Metroid?
All the Metroids are hairy.
There
now.
Will be once Retro's done with it.
It's the Metroid's dad, Zorba the Metroid.
I thought for a split second you were going to do like, oh yeah, they're doing like a Kirby's Epic Yarn, but it's going to be a Metroid game and they're all fuzzy and cute.
I mean, would also play
you could
that.
Use the grapple hook as the unravelly thing. Yes. That'd work.
I'd be pretty into that. I know people would be pretty upset over the change in tone, but it'd be
so
fun.
So Xander, you have expressed some modicum of doubt on Breath of the Wild 2 and Metroid Prime 4, which were, you know, two of the top games on the hype meter. What is your upcoming Switch game that you are most excited for?
Well, before Bowser's Fury, because that I'm here for. I was actually talking to my brother about this. I'm like, I don't know what game I'm like looking forward to. I was kind of like going over the list of like upcoming releases, and I think by default it's Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap.
Yeah. Dumb name aside, I am also very excited for that game. Like, yeah. It's.
Wait,
I don't,
is it actually called New Pokemon
that
Snap?
That is the name right now.
That's a real. I thought that was a. That's not a tentative title.
No, that's.
That's the name?
That's the name. That's.
Oh, I assume. No. I know there's. Like, it seems like Pokemon's gearing up to start talking 25th anniversary more. So maybe we'll see more about this soon. Knowing our luck, there will be, like, news dropping tomorrow morning.
Yes.
But yeah, New Pokemon Snap, like, it's. Like, just let me take that little. Like bubble cart thing, I know there's a name for it. I don't remember it, man. The last time I played Pokemon Snap was I went away. I was in college, and for people in northeastern Pennsylvania, you've probably heard of the Poconos. I had a couple weekends that I would like, you know, go to the Poconos for the weekend with a bunch of friends, and I brought the Wii. And I got very drunk and played a lot of Pokemon Snap. That's the last time I played Pokemon Snap. But because I remember it where it was just, like, it was, you know, a bunch of adults at that point. Like, I guess, well, no, I guess, like, probably would have been, like, 22 at the time. Just a bunch of us, like, crowding around a Wii playing Pokemon Snap, passing the controller around. Mm-hmm. It was a very good time. But just let me fly around in the little bubble car thing and take pictures of Pokemon. Let, like, day-night cycles change who's there. Let me look on Serebii and be like, how do I get this Pokemon? I want to know.
Yeah, you gotta, like, throw a ball into the crater at this exact moment.
If you want the surfing Pikachu, this is what you gotta do.
That's like playground rumor fodder ready to happen. I don't think it's like the exact same as Pokemon Snap. I believe this is like the thing I always think about with this game. I was like, oh yeah, they're finally doing another Pokemon Snap game. And then I remember, I don't know if this was like something they said or someone else said, but I think it's like a a new way to play, or like there's some sort of they're calling it new intentionally because it's not going to be the exact same thing as the N64 title where you're just going around on rails. I think that they're going to spice things up a bit. They haven't elaborated what that means, but I remember reading that, and every time I think about new Pokemon Snap, that thought also crosses my mind. And like the fan in me is like, please don't ruin it, because so many of my things I enjoy have been ruined. But then the part of me is like, yeah, like I'm here for everything that's innovative and new. That's just kind of my very raw reaction to that game. It is weird to think about like the game I'm most excited about. I'm pretty pumped for that. Sorry, that was a bit of a tangent.
Oh, that's fine. That's what podcasting is all about.
Yeah, yeah. So
new Pokemon. Yeah, Snap. I share your enthusiasm for new Pokemon Snap. Like that's a game that it's just like, even if it turns out where it's like, oh, it's just like the first Pokemon Snap, but it's got a new hat on it. Like I'll still get it. I really like that first one. That is the floor for me. If it is worse than the original, I'm not in. But if it's the same or better, cool.
Right, and it's kind of hypocritical for me to even say that, because like 5 minutes ago I was saying like,
I don't want the same Zelda game again.
I don't want the same Zelda game. Yeah, I know. But also,
Pokemon Snap came out 20 years ago.
So exactly, like, yeah. So it's I don't know, it's kind of weird to like just say something like that, so I figured I might as well address that while it's on people's minds. But yeah, I don't know, I'm a flawed person.
looking at some of the list, one of my games that I'm hyped for, I'll probably be talking about soon, I hope, that's Cyber Shadow. It's like a cool looking yacht club ninja action game. Also, Axiom Verge 2 is one that is, I would actually say it's kind of in the Breath of the Wild 2 camp for me. Not in that, like, I'm definitely more excited for Breath of the Wild 2, but I did that video back, was it like August, September last year, just like four upcoming Metroidvanias to look at. I did an interview with Tom Happ, who is the solo developer behind Axiom Verge. And digging into that game, he keeps making reference to this, like, there's like a, kind of game-changing play mechanic that he has not unveiled yet. That will like kind of reconfigure how you look at the game. And I want to know what the hell that is, because Axiom Verge 2 is the kind of game where it's just like, we made another one of those things. It's basically the same, but it's just like some new levels and bosses, and that would have been fine. But the fact that it seems like there are some tweaks, and it actually seems like there is a little bit of response to some of the aspects of Axiom Verge that I thought were a little lacking, which is, I think it's super easy to get lost in that game in a bad way, where you can just get completely off track of the plot, and it's like some of the navigation isn't as smooth as it could be. It also doesn't do a great job of like tracking what you have and what you don't have. But it seems like the sequel is aware of some of those shortcomings of the original. So that game's set for sometime in 2021. I still believe that solo developer can take as much damn time as he wants. He's
earned. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The first Axiom Verge was so damn good that like, it's just like, take your time. I will be here to play the crap out of your game whenever it comes out.
Yeah, I share that sentiment. I've never played Axiom Verge, but like the principle of like, if you make something that is so well received and you put a lot of passion and love into it, and then you decide to continue that, like absolutely don't just put it out for the sake of it, even though there's a demand. Like, yeah, take your time and enjoy it. I think that's what's happening with the Undertale series, right?
Yeah.
I share that for sure.
Yeah, because there was like one Deltarune episode.
Right, and I think he was kind of being coy at Toby Fox, saying like, yeah, there's going to be others, but maybe there won't be. I don't know. Maybe I'm misquoting him, but I thought I remember him being like,
I know he's definitely, he like, it is the kind of thing where like, I think he just tries to downplay stuff just because he doesn't want to set the wrong expectations.
Yeah.
Because it is a kind of, I mean, it's just that we've all witnessed it. Video games, people can get pie-in-the-sky expectations off of like one slightly wrongly phrased thing.
Yeah, and I think that with like Undertale, like he created an experience that might not be easily replicatable, even if he does put his heart and soul into the Deltarune stuff.
Yeah, I still haven't
Lightning Strike.
I haven't played Undertale.
It's good.
I looked at it and had it described to me using all of my least favorite games, and kind of went, oh, well, I guess you guys have fun. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's very well
when I was doing Earthbound and Mother 3, and I was on that really aged RPG kick for a moment.
You finished Mother 3, right?
I did.
Did we ever talk about that? I don't know if we did.
We talked about it when I was playing it, but we never talked about
it. What did you think?
I don't know. It was for spoilers for Mother 3, if you haven't played it, I do recommend it. It's pretty cool. At the same time, like, the ending was, I think my initial gut reaction to it was like, wow, that was kind of dark and also nihilistic. But all at the same time, I was like, maybe that was very happy and religious in a way. That's... like, did they all go to heaven? Like, he wished to be with his mom, right? Like, that's what he wished for, certainly. And so for him to all take everyone with him to see his mom, like, that would mean they all died. But at the same time, like, it's so vague. It's up to your own interpretation.
That's
Mother 3's so good. I like games when they do that. It's rare you see that in a Nintendo game of all things. So that was a very nice, pleasant surprise. We could have a whole discussion on this.
It's the kind of thing, like, I might actually try to, like, get, like, a repro card or something for when I get the analog pocket. Sure whatever I get works with it. Because I played through it, like, shortly after the fan translation came out, which that was, like, 2008, 2009, something like that. I played through that on my computer, but I think about how, like I'd rather play that on a Game Boy.
Likewise, and I missed out on the new element of the rhythm-based attacking system you could do, which is actually kind of integral in that final fight.
Yeah.
So that made the final fight really hard. But I think because I was emulating it, trying to do the rhythm-based stuff was really hard because it wasn't on the original hardware and it was an emulation, and I don't know, it was just I swear I was doing it properly, but it was
tough to figure out. I think it's also just tough to figure out in the game a little bit, but I do. I know I've heard with some emulation stuff that, like, there's issues with that. I mean, it's kind of the only way you can play the game right now. At least in English.
Unfortunately. I'm hyped for that game. That's on my hype meter if that's ever released, which, you know, again, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't think it's ever going to happen, but it would be. I just want to talk about it with more people because I think it was actually a couple episodes ago, I think Mother 3 came out, and I wound up being like, man, like, it's been a long time since I thought about or played that game. Like, I'll refresh my memory, and, like, I forgot how, like, ridiculous that game gets in the back half. Like, I think
there's, like, they tackle every, like, R-rated thing on a, like, a movie critic, what do you call it? Like, the
checklist
system. They hit all of those bullet points. Like, a child dies on screen.
Drug use.
Yeah, there's a rape. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, I kind of wish Shigeshito Itoi would make more games. It's such a weird concept and how that series kind of evolves, you know, from Earthbound Beginnings to Earthbound to Mother 3. Like, it's just, there's not really, I mean, I guess outside of, like, Undertale, there's not a lot of games that are like it. And even Earthbound, like, I am not the biggest fan of Earthbound. I think, you know, if I were to get on a darker day, I would agree with John with his criticisms of it. I think the soundtrack for Earthbound is an absolute all-timer, and I think the game has a lot of charm, but it's also, like, a pretty, like, janky-ass Dragon Quest, early Dragon Quest RPG.
I was going to say, it's like an early NES game.
I played this two years ago, and I was like... It's so weird because it's like you can recognize when something's kind of special. Like, you can see the creativity and heart that was put into it. And I was really into just how unique the environments and the characters were. But at the same time, I was like, oh man, like there's a trade-off here, and that's how old this game is. Yeah. It was hard for me to get through.
Are we about to draw a comparison about how the battle system should be removed from Earthbound and Paper Mario Origami King?
Maybe.
Because it is, like, experiencing, like, it's almost like experience Earthbound as a visual novel would be the better way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, it's kind of strange because, you know, you want to experience something the way the developers intended it. And then there have been a lot of discussions around if they were ever to revisit Earthbound. Apparently, Itoi doesn't want to make another game, which I can respect that. If you want to be done with something, you don't make another game because people want you to. Like, make it if you want to. That's fine. But if they were to revisit the series and they were to, like, remake it and say the popular... said thing is the Link's Awakening remake art style, that, like, claymation looking thing.
Yeah.
Like, that would be pretty cool, but at the same time, it's like, there is part of me that, because I also create my own stuff, like I want to make sure that like this is what the creator wants, you know, like I don't want it to just be, oh, this is really cute and pretty and I like it. I guess I just want to make sure that this is what the creator wanted it to, because yeah. there's a lot of charm to that pixel art and uniqueness, I guess.
Yeah. I think any hope of a remake like that of Earthbound went out the window when Iwata died.
I agree.
Because that was, I mean, Itoi wrote some like really like impactful stuff, you know, because him and Iwata were like longtime friends. Mm-hmm. And I think it is that thing. It's like, you know, also thinking about what is, you know, Sakurai going to do after Smash Brothers Ultimate wraps up, because you have those couple guys that like kind of hung around Nintendo longer because of their relationship with Iwata. And
mm-hmm, I agree.
And like, I mean, that's what like, it's, I don't think like the exact full story is out there, but like Sakurai left Nintendo, I guess around when mm-hmm. Iwata became president and he wanted to, you know, go out on his own. And I think it was Iwata that kept on going like, hey man, come on. Like, we're going to make another Smash Brothers without you, but don't you want to make it?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, like Sakurai, even though he's almost synonymous with Nintendo in a way with Smash Brothers, he's not a Nintendo full-time employee. He's an independent contractor.
Does his company, yes. Sora...
Nintendo doesn't even pay him.
That was created for Project Sora. Am I mistaken in saying that?
I believe... So Project Sora was the developer behind Kid Icarus Uprising.
Right.
And Sakurai's company is like Sora Limited. And I think I recall some comments from him after Project Sora with Kid Icarus Uprising was like, that shit ain't gonna work anymore. Because it was like, he basically like got a team of developers together to make this game. And I think Kid Icarus Uprising was like a really stressful development. Not that any of his future games haven't been. But that's part of the reason why, for example, with Smash Brothers, everything that he's made after Kid Icarus Uprising, those games have been made with Bandai Namco.
Right.
Because then it's like him working with an existing team as opposed to putting a team together from scratch, which I think was like, that wasn't a great experience.
Well, and Kid Icarus Uprising was, I mean, the team that made that did feel a bit like a dream team of like the people involved in that game are, it's a very impressive lineup.
And the composers too. Holy crap. The composers.
Oh yeah. It's pretty much all, it's the Smash Bros. Composers, just all working together on a single score. And it's so good, and probably the best thing Sakurai's ever made.
Why don't we just go back and play 3DS games? The online's better.
I played through Kid Icarus Uprising for the first time, I want to say 2 years ago, and I was just like really floored at how well it holds up, having never played it. You know, there are parts of it, I think I liked the flying sections more than the ground parts.
You and everybody else.
That's a common complaint, apparently. But yeah, that's a really cool game.
It's just, it's such a crazy game.
And it just keeps going.
Yeah.
I remember reviewing that and being like, I think this is done. And I'm like, what?
And then if you haven't played it, I won't spoil this specific thing, but the marketing material for that game was intentionally cut off at a certain point.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
They embargoed themselves.
The funny thing is that, so I've been starting to put together looking for footage for 3DS 2012, which I did the 3DS 2011 history video late last year. And looking at Kid Icarus Uprising, they like released a trailer for that, you know, that twist. Like, so that game came out in March. It was like October later that year. And like in the beginning of the trailer, they're like, hey, there's some spoilers. And then you look at the title of the trailer and you're like, well, yeah, the spoilers are right in the title, ass. Like,
wow.
But like, it is, they did kind of play it straight with that game. And that's a little bit like, that's the power that Sakurai wields. That embargo sheet, I kept it for a while because it was like 4 pages front and back of detailed things about what you couldn't talk about.
But it doesn't surprise me though. You know, it's just that's really weird. But yeah. Anyway, I hate to like continue to derail our conversation because we were talking about the hype stuff.
We're pretty much just derailing the conversation. That's the point of the podcast.
That's what this podcast is. Yeah.
This is conversation.
With the Earthbound stuff and like wanting it to be like a visual novel, I feel like when I joined staff, I was very much like behind in a way, as far as like having played series like Star Fox, F-Zero are still kind of weak spots for me. I had never played a Pikmin game, but now I've kind of like gone through a lot of them, and I'm like a Pikmin hyper fan now. That's one of my hyped games, Pikmin 4. But the Earthbound series was always kind of one of those things where I was like, I feel like every Nintendo fan knows about them because they're in Smash Brothers, but like I feel like a lot of people don't talk about them because they haven't played them, especially Mother 3, because you know it hasn't been released.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like
I feel like a lot of people who haven't played Earthbound talk about Earthbound.
Oh really? Okay. Well, I don't know if I share that sentiment, but we can get into that if you want.
I think that's one of those. I think it was a hard drive originating meme of Earthbound, huge Earthbound fan, excited to play it for the first time.
Well, I mean, it wasn't accessible until it came to Wii U. Like, really.
Right, because it was totally hard. It was an expensive game, from what I remember.
I mean,
Yeah, I mean, not to encourage anyone to do anything, but Earthbound was not a hard game to play in the years between the Super Nintendo and the Wii U.
Full disclosure.
In fact, way easier than playing it on Wii U.
Yeah, that's how I played it initially, was through an emulator. I played it
on the SNES Classic.
So I had the moment of when I was getting into like Super Nintendo collecting, because I did not own my own Super Nintendo until like 2002.
I've never even held one, Neil. It's really weird to say that. I've never been in the same room as a Super Nintendo. It's really weird.
Well, when we go to PAXs again in 2045, we should play one. I got into Super Nintendo collecting a little bit and like started being like, all right, like I can't do too many of the expensive ones. I did get Final Fantasy 3/6, and I got Chrono Trigger, and it was like kind of like, all right, like I'm not going to be able to get all of these, like, because they're kind of expensive. And I recall at the time I had the option to get Chrono Trigger or Earthbound for about $40, and I went with Chrono Trigger. And I probably should have gotten Earthbound because Earthbound's value skyrocketed.
But you got the better game.
Yeah. I mean, Chrono Trigger, that's a timeless ass game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's on my list of games to get to. I started it on the DS, and I haven't gotten very far into
that. That's one of the rare turn-based JRPGs that I will say is very, very good.
Xander, you should come back after you play Chrono Trigger, and then I will figure out some way for you to play Chrono Cross, because I just want to know.
Okay.
Send the boy a PS1 classic.
Yeah, I will hack a PS1 classic for you, as I have done with mine.
You know what? Hack a SNES classic. It'll probably run it better.
I tried. I remember DMing you about it, trying to hack mine, and I was like,
oh, but you were doing it on like a Mac, and only God could help you at that point.
But no, Chrono Cross is one of those games where there are other people like me who really like that game, but boy, is it a divisive video game. Universally fantastic soundtrack, though.
Those are really fun. If you've never played them before, but like you know that like this is a divisive game, I'm playing it for the first time, I know nothing.
Especially like playing Chrono Trigger, then playing Chrono Cross. Like there's some stuff in Chrono Cross that's just like, you like Chrono Trigger, and then it slaps you across the face. and a lot of people got mad about that. When I got to that point, I was just like, wow. Like, this dude's got some balls.
This is like the Last Jedi of the Chrono series.
It kind of is.
Okay.
I think I remember watching The Last Jedi and be like, boy, that was like Chrono Cross. And then I saw everybody real mad about it. I'm like, well, this is true. It is like Chrono Cross.
That's awesome.
It's my desire for a lot of like sequels to games like that. It's why like Xenoblade X, I wanted Chrono Cross like stuff in that. But we wound up getting Chrono Cross like stuff in Xenoblade 2, so it was fine.
I had a thought. Xenoblade X is going to get a Switch port, but it will only run on the new Switch XL.
Ooh.
Just write down that prediction right now.
I do think by the time Breath of the Wild 2 comes out, we will probably know more about what the Switch, if it is indeed a Switch Pro. I think that's probably when we'll find out more about it. Because like you think about like what game would necessitate the hardware from Nintendo. Yeah. And actually the answer to that is Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity. because that game does not.
I will not be picking that game up until.
I think that game is incredible. It kind of runs like crap.
Yeah,
that game is a good example of why I'm so glad I grew up with like bad 3D games on Super Nintendo and the Nintendo 64, because you can give me any frame rate and like it takes a lot. It takes Ark Survival Evolved for me to go like I can't.
Yeah, John
do
was like this runs great. What are you talking about?
Yeah, 15 frames per second. That's like 3x.
So my thing with that is it just needs to be like somewhat consistent. And that's what it like. Yes. And I can I feel like I handled it well in the review of Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity. In that like no like factually like this is bad, but at the same time it's playable.
Yeah.
Like unless it really unless you're the kind of person that's very sensitive to drops in frame rate and stuff like that, which I'm not. What always killed me was I know Mario Kart 8 was the one that like would be consistent with it. If I were to go from playing like turning on the game, okay, I'm gonna play some single player. And then some friends come over and we play split-screen multiplayer. The drop from 60 frames per second when you're playing with one or two people to going down to 30 when it's three or four, having that, like, immediate going from one to the other, that's what like, doesn't work for me at all. But if I, like, booted up that game, was playing three and four player the whole time, no problem. I adapt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can understand it. It's weird how like I didn't ever notice frame rate drops or like when, growing up. Like I guess I did notice it, but I was like I didn't understand what that was. So to me, I was just like, oh, okay, like the game's running slower. I don't know if I even ever had that thought in my mind, but like I noticed the act of the frame rate was dropping, and it doesn't bother me very much. But I think I'm like in the same boat as you, where it's like if it's so immediate, where like with Mario Kart, like it's kind of hard to like feel like you're playing the same game in a way, because it's so different. Like I remember playing Link's Awakening and being like, wow, the frame rate's not great when you're like switching screens, but like I think I remember it being okay in the dungeons and like not really being offended by it or anything.
It was mostly just bad in the overworld.
Yeah, the overworld was pretty much it.
And I mean, the thing about Link's Awakening is that like that's kind of not a great game.
Oh.
So the frame rate's the least of your problems.
Okay. Boy, so many discussion topics tonight. This is great. I don't know what else we were talking about, but my point earlier was that like it's kind of nice to like play games that a lot of people know about, but maybe not everyone has played, just to kind of like be in the know, you know. I crossed Mother 3 off of my list of games to play, and I felt really like, wow, like I've finally played this game, and now I understand whenever like someone talks about it, or like there's a video that's recommended to me or something about it, like I feel like I can participate, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of want that for more people, because like I'm not like one to just feel exclusive about that.
But you should play Chrono Trigger.
That's on that list, you know. Like yeah.
What games are up next on the list, or is there anything that you're playing?
I was talking to John. I need to get through Star Fox. We had this idea of me playing through the Star Fox games, because I've only played like one route of Star Fox 64 on the 3DS, and I was kind of underwhelmed by the game because it was so short. So like I want to be able to play that with someone who like has a an affinity for it, because I feel like I would appreciate it a little bit more. And then I also played the original on the Super Nintendo when it came to the Switch Online service, and
the original one I think I actually hopped in and watched you do the final fight.
Yeah, and you,
because that's a weird feature that the Switch can do when someone else is playing a SNES game.
And I was not able to beat it. From what I remember, I remember failing him.
I think you beat him.
Did I?
I mean, I think you did bad, but I think you beat him.
I was laughing at you
the whole time, but like I came in to watch you and you were like missing a wing and had like single lasers, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't think I got to the final boss on hard mode. I think it was like the easy mode is where I died.
Oh yeah.
I will say I don't know if I've ever beaten the first one on hard mode. I think I've only ever beaten it on easy. I'm not those are games that I struggle with usually, with like the high difficulty of like space shooting games like that.
To answer your question, there's a few games on that list that I've started that I just need to finish. Final Fantasy VII and Xenoblade Chronicles are both games I've put like 30 or 40 hours into.
Oh, wow. Where are you in Final Fantasy VII?
Right after, spoiler, Aerith dies.
Okay. You still got a little bit of a ways left.
Yeah, I think I'm like a third of the way through that game. I finished that up, and then Mario Maker 2 came out that summer, and I was like, I'm playing this instead. and I just haven't gotten back to it yet. But having Sephiroth and Smash and like kind of just like going through that Sephiroth challenge, like they kind of dolled up the menus, and it reminded me of like I was weirdly getting nostalgic for a game I played like for the first time and never finished like a year ago. It was really weird.
My journey with Final Fantasy VII is wild because that's like my brother got a PlayStation 1, and I think it might have been, this might have happened when he was in college, going back to that Obi-Wan conversation from earlier. But he had a PlayStation 1, and I wound up like buying Final Fantasy VII on my own because I was so hyped for it. And I would like either like, I think I actually like just bought my own memory card, and like when I would visit him at school, I would just be like, I'm going to play your PlayStation and play some Final Fantasy, and be like, why are you here? But then, like, when he would be home for the summer, I think that's when I actually, like, played through it. And I, like, loved it. Devoured that game. And then, over the intervening years, like, I recall going back to it at one point and not being as into it. And being like, okay, like, you know, hot take artist over here. Final Fantasy VII's overrated. and then, I think it was when it came to, like, PlayStation 4. And they added, like, you can go everything and it speeds it up. And I played that and I was like, okay, now, like, I love this game. Like, the music is supremely good. Okay, maybe the turn-based battle system is, like, kind of basic. And it is, like, a lot of, like, Smash A, materias on everybody. Everybody's kind of the same. But
so, I don't understand the battling system, and maybe that's a controversial thing to say, because maybe it is pretty simple, but I remember being super confused when they were introducing materia, and just not understanding it, and then I kept dying over and over, and then I started to result to the cheats that the quality of life enhancements.
But that's also, it's the kind of thing where I might have a leg up with understanding materia, one, because I like played the game in 1999, so it was like more fresh. I might have, who knows, maybe even looked at a guide or something. But like, it's also like, it's similar to games of the era, which were other games that I was playing. And that's why I love stuff like that Final Fantasy VII port that has those cheats in it, because it'll let someone like you, who's just like, okay, what's the fuss up about this game, that, you know, without having to go in there and make a lot of changes to like update it for the modern era, it's approachable, and if you have frustrations with it, you can kind of slam that button to just give you all limit breaks and heal everybody. Like, and I love that. I love that about that Final Fantasy VII port.
Yeah, friend of mine, you guys know David Lloyd. He likes to give me some grief about cheating, but like, yeah, I think the battling system in that game is like the one part that maybe I'm just missing out on, because I don't really connect to it very well. I was really, really into Midgar. I loved that setting. I thought that the like, it's so weird because it's all like JPEGs, but like just the way everything
it's,
looked,
but it's,
was
and
really
the music,
neat.
The music paired with it. Like that's kind of what I was getting to, is that like, I'm not wild about some of the battle system in that, but it's the mood, the tone, like the story is kind of nonsense in a lot of respects, but like, paired with that sound, like it's one of the best Final Fantasy soundtracks, and that's like kind of where I gave in, where I could poke holes in Final Fantasy VII, but the nostalgic imprint that it had on me, and I mean just society as a whole, it's immense. And I think also what crystallized a lot of my feelings of Final Fantasy VII was playing through a remake and enjoying the way that it toyed with expectations and twisted things around. Like I like, it's the kind of, It's what I wanted out of Final Fantasy VII Remake is what I got. And it is like, I wish that was a game that was like part of SNES Online, so you could like start playing and I could just hop in and be like, all right, this is how you do the battle system.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that. That's like one of my favorite things, is like playing a game with someone who's already played it and just like hearing their enjoyment, because it makes the experience like 10 times more fun for me.
That was like how I played a lot of RPGs when I was younger, was like, I had a buddy of mine that like, we would like sit on the couch and play Super Mario RPG, passing the controller around, or Chrono Trigger or whatever. Like that was a lot of how I experienced those RPGs, was not so much playing it by myself, but playing it with a friend.
Yeah, exactly. There was a day like a year or two ago where I put up like 10 hours of Super Mario RPG footage onto the NWR library, and then John messaged me. He's like, you're playing Mario RPG? And we had a whole conversation about it, and I was like, you were way more into this game than I was, but it's like then when I went back to playing the game again, it's like I kind of fed off of that enjoyment. Like I was not really into Geno, which a lot of people are, and then like after having talked to John for a while about it, it changed my perspective.
I don't think it was John hates Super Mario RPG.
What? I thought that was you.
It was definitely somebody. I probably would have told you that Geno was the only more fake Mario character than Waluigi.
Who am I thinking of? Oh gosh, and I feel terrible.
I don't. And it, I mean, like
this completely invalidates my own point about like feeding off someone's enjoyment.
I wasn't going to stop you. I was just going to be like, yeah, me and my in depth love of Mario RPG.
I know you. Yeah, John over there being like, this is it's not an actual Mario RPG, despite the fact that he jumps all the time and uses fireballs.
Okay, NWR staffer who might be listening to this, please reach out. And
I don't think it was me. Like, I mean, I love that game with an undying passion. If I were to put a list of my favorite games ever, Super Mario RPG might be number one. But I don't think that was me.
I went on the Thirsty Mage and talked about it after having talked to that person. Maybe it was Jordan.
Maybe it was Jordan.
Might have been Jordan.
Yeah. Sorry, Jordan.
But I, for me, with Super Mario RPG is. It was really, I would say I'm probably here in large part to that game, because I was like into video games in the 90s, and it wasn't until I started playing Super Mario RPG and my one friend that I've referred to, like, we played it together, and like he had the guide, and like wow. We devoured that stuff like when we were like 10 years old, like making lore out of that stuff, which I wish I could find whatever weird notebooks we had with that, because that'd be fun to put on the site.
I do have my drawings from when I played Super Mario Brothers 3 and had like that phase. Like, I still have those drawings.
Like, that was me at 10 years old being like, what other adventures could Geno go on? The possibilities are endless. Surely Square will revisit this character.
They did in Mario Superstar Saga.
Yeah, I remember so excited for that, being like, it could happen, and 20 years later, still now. But that was when video games kind of clicked over for me, from being like, oh, like, you know, like Mario's fun, Sonic's okay, like, and then just being like, this is my life now. Like, mm-hmm. And it was Pokemon. Awesome. Pokemon was around the same time too, because I want to say this was probably 98, 97. Would have been when a lot of this was happening, and then I had a rhythm where I basically would just replay Super Mario RPG every year, and wow. Probably played it more than multiple times a year when I was younger, but then it would just be like, all right, like it's the summer, I'll play Super RPG, and that stopped. That's once awesome. I started writing for the Digital Report, and I basically only like played like the first star or two of it in any replay since then, and it's one of those things that like I really want to sit down and just replay that game, because it's something that's very meaningful for me, and I can understand a lot of the criticisms. Like, the isometric stuff is kind of weird. Maybe some of the graphics.
The only part of that game I hated, and I will never forget, is the cloud area with the like beanstalks. Like it was like 3 hours of me blindly jumping. Like that. I usually don't have problems with perspective in games. Like, I'm Paper Mario aficionado, and it's really weird, but I enjoyed it regardless of that.
And like, the level that I was at with replaying it is that I would like avoid all important, I would only do mandatory battles because I just knew the battle system so inside and out, that it was just basically like, all right, let's do a low level run on Super Mario RPG. I probably cannot do that anymore. But there was a time in my life where I would be like on like star 5 at the lowest possible level that I could be at that point.
That's awesome. Wow.
I should go play Super Mario RPG.
Well, hopefully they add it to the Switch Online.
That's service. What I've been kind of waiting for. That or 3DS. That never happened. Yeah.
It's like, not on the 3DS?
No, never got added. I think maybe in Japan, but maybe, definitely never North America.
I could have sworn it was. Maybe I'm...
Nope. Okay.
Huh.
I think it's safe to say that Nintendo doesn't like Mario RPG.
You get out.
They looked it's at weird. It and they went, yeah.
I mean,
no,
to be fair, they,
if this didn't have
took,
Mario
they,
in it,
they
it'd
took
be
the,
a forgettable
the,
RPG.
The traditional RPG mechanics out of Paper Mario. Mario and Luigi is dead.
You're right, though. Like, as sad as that is, like Mario RPG, I think, kind of goes down with the same ship as Paper Mario as an RPG, because like that's where it came from. So for them to
that's the thing is, Paper Mario is, but it's weird because Paper Mario was at one point going to be like Super Mario RPG 2, But then Mario and Luigi has most of the developers from Super Mario RPG.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing I noticed playing Mario RPG for the first time as an adult, is that it felt like I was playing a prequel to Superstar Saga, because even right down to the animations, like there's like this animation that Bowser has where his eyes kind of like fall out of his head, and they you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
hell that, yeah, I do. His little
I remember that from Superstar Saga, and then I saw that in RPG, and I was like, that is incredibly strange for me, because it's like it's my childhood but backwards, and that's really cool.
Yeah, because a lot of the people that were at Square Enix who worked at Super Mario RPG wound up leaving. A lot of them went to Alpha Dream. Some of them went to, was it Love to Leak was the name of the company, that now a lot of those people are at Onion Games. They put out that game, Moon Remix RPG Adventure, which if you're looking for something earthboundy and weird, that sure as shit is that. But and that's also got Super Mario RPG lineage. Because it's got people who worked on that game. And actually, even connects to Paper Mario the Origami King, because the writer on Moon is also, like, the writer on a lot of the recent Paper Marios. John, are you still awake?
What? Huh? I drew a picture of a Metroid. Do you guys want to see it?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll post it on Twitter when I'm done. Okay. Recording this, so I got a drawing tablet for Christmas, and so now it just sits next to me whenever we're recording, and I wind up doodling an incredible amount.
That's awesome. Have you been playing Colors Live at all?
Yes.
I'm looking at my pen right now. I haven't played it, but I haven't.
So I'm terrible at it.
I turned off the press. So I've learned that I do not like pressure sensitivity in digital painting software.
So I turned that off. Different from using a Wacom or Wacom, whatever. It's so weird, and I don't know if mine's working or not, because I feel like I'm pushing as hard as I can. I don't want to break my Switch.
You can adjust the sensitivity.
Yeah, I have, and it doesn't do anything. It's just like it's like weirdly, like I always have an opaque circle, and I have to keep layering it, and I'm like, this is not working for me.
Are you sure your opacity is turned all the way up?
I think so. I went to the settings and I've got it cranked all the way up.
Because I was going to say, the main thing I like about the Colors games, both on 3DS and Switch, is I think that interface is, like, perfect. Like, just the speed at which you can, like, change tools and colors and opacity and all that, and the way it's laid out on the controller. Mm-hmm. Is you can just do stuff so fast.
I'm not going to disagree with you, because I played that on the 3DS for a long time, and I thought the exact same thing. Having had Photoshop in my life for like 6-7 years now, it's like I'm so used to that. It's almost hard to go to a more accessible menu, because I just know all the shortcuts.
And I think the nice thing that Colors Live has is because you always have one hand kind of sitting by those buttons.
Yep.
So you're just ready to go, which is nice.
Yeah, Colors Live is great. I feel like it kind of came and went, and not a lot of people even know about it, but really great drawing game.
It's only out for the Kickstarter.
Yeah. Oh, really? Right now. That's okay.
We should cover it for the website.
Well, we had talked about doing like a drawing contest, but I don't.
Yeah, well, me and Xander have talked about. Well, but we both put money into it.
Yeah.
So like we probably should.
And I did too. Like I just got it because I just want the pen. And I got it and was like, this is super cool. And then haven't played it. Because I kind of fiddled with it before they sent the game codes out. So I was like,
I did too. I had it for Mario Maker 2, and I was like, this is weird.
Yeah. Like, and that's what I wound up doing. And then just like, since I got the game code, like it's been downloaded on my Switch, but I haven't actually sat down and used it.
Wait, does it work on other stuff?
Yeah, you can use it for Mario Maker.
It doesn't really work well.
It feels weird.
Yeah.
It's not like weird. Optimized for it. And I wouldn't say it's the best thing to use, but it works.
It's a cool idea. And hey, to tie in, the dude who made that, I forget his name, but he's working on that. He's working on that Indiana Jones game.
Oh, is he really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think his name is Jan, but I could be completely wrong.
I think it's like Jen's. I forget what the last name is.
I've never kickstarted something before. That was my first time ever doing that, and I have to say, it was pretty smooth. No regrets.
The sad thing of I kickstarted board games like a year or two ago. And now I'm getting them, but it's just like, oh, cool, I got the Reigns board game. It's playable for 3 to 6 people. When am I going to be in a gathering with 3 to 6 people?
Yeah, that sucks.
So it is like, and there's even like, there's been board games that I've like wanted to buy, and I'm just like, what's the point? Like, I'm not going to be able to play with people.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Honestly, this is the most I think I've talked about video games with folks since like, probably when I was doing Paper Mario crap. That was a long time ago though.
Yeah. But we should probably wrap up. Maybe we'll stick a pin in that Paper Mario conversation for when you come back to talk to us about Chrono Trigger.
Okay, that sounds good.
But this was really fun. John, do you have anything that you want to say, considering that we basically just boxed you out for a while?
Yeah, sorry.
Nope. Expect my doodles on Twitter.
All right, that sounds good. We'll be back next week with who knows what. A lot can happen in a week. But Xander, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
I hope that the Pittsburgh Penguins win the.
I will say that I checked to see how the Blackhawks were doing in their first game, and they are losing 4-0. So bad pick by John, thinking that the Blackhawks are going to be good.
Well, listen, they can still turn it around using sports things.
Sure.
So. They've got, like, it's not over till they stop getting points.
Yeah,
that's go what they teams. Say in sports. Yes.
I'll plug my Luigi's Mansion video that I painstakingly made Luigi's Mansion in Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Oh, that was really cool.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, I'm not one to just be like, watch my stuff, but I'm really proud of that, and I think it's super cool, and I hope someone watches it.
Yeah, good job on that, man.
Thank you. I've been doing other stuff too. I put on Twitter that's how I spend most of my time playing Animal Crossing. Is I'm at the photo shoot island, just recreating things now. One of the Nintendo of America employees inspired me to do.
Yeah, it. Yeah, yeah. No, I follow that guy too. He posts a lot of awesome stuff.
Yeah, so I've been trying to keep up with him. Check him out on Twitter. I don't know his handle, but like I've liked all of his stuff, so I'm sure you can just go to my account and find it pretty easily. But yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Yeah, so if you have any questions about anything here, whether it's, you know, me, John, or Xander, put in a request for what can John doodle next week while everybody else talks about stuff. Send that stuff into...
while everyone else participates in the podcast.
connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. You can follow us on Twitter at... Crap, what is our handle again? I think it is connectivity...
Did you hear me forget it last week? Did you listen to last week's episode after you left?
This is not planned.
Because I had to do the outro. And as I started doing the outro, I was like, oh no, Neil does the outro. And I didn't know what anything was.
We are at ConnectivityNWR is the Twitter handle. It's gotten a little bit less performance already since we actually started doing the podcast and then getting busy. but it's still there. Yeah, we'll do stuff.
I posted a picture of Buck Bumble the other day. Yeah. So, you know, that was good.
Yeah.
People seemed pretty excited. Nobody liked it.
Next week, the Blue Coin Cast 2, everyone's been asking me for.
I mean, if you just admit that you're behind the account, then we can move on with our lives.
Can neither confirm nor deny that, but that would be a very funny thing for me to do.
Sure, it would be
funny and cool.
Yep, it'd be even cooler if you admitted it.
Okay, you're gonna pressure me into something I didn't do.
All right,
has like put a microscope under me. He was like, "Are you sure? Like, you're not lying to me?" And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I'm just as confused as you."
That's exactly what you'd say. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye.